We're in Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at the first part of God's call to Moses. Let's pray together as we start. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your call upon us, oh God. Thank you so much for calling us from darkness to light, from blindness to sight. Thank you so much for calling us from sin to salvation, Lord, from this world to heaven. Thank you so much for calling us from serving our own interest in the flesh to serving you and serving an eternal purpose. Thank you so much, oh God, for setting us apart for all that you want to do. And Lord, we pray that we may continuously submit to you, we may continuously listen to you, and we may be following every direction that you want us to go, Lord. Fill us with the Spirit, and Lord, help us understand your truth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Exodus chapter 3 is when God calls Moses. Let's read together. The first 12 verses. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of a desert and came to Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, the Mount of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not being consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals. Take your sandals off your feet. For the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So this is after 40 years of Moses serving his father-in-law as a shepherd. So this is an 8-year-old man. How many of you are 80 years today? None of us is 80, right? 40 years in the palace in Egypt, 80 years in the wilderness of Midian as a shepherd. And God appears to Moses in form of a burning bush. Now, if you have been raising sheep or goats or cattle before, you're familiar with fires in the wilderness. When I was in the village, we would actually set up these bushes on fire during the dry season so that we'd have fresh grass during the rainy season. So no doubt was familiar with fire in the wilderness, but this particular fire is not consuming the bush. He says, you know what, this is strange. Let me turn aside and see what's happening here. And that is the way God speaks to him. The Bible says here, an angel of the Lord, a messenger of God. This was really God himself speaking through a burning bush. Now, if that happened to you, I'm sure I would be completely terrified and run off. Somebody speaking from a burning bush? A voice that you're not familiar with, by the way. Have you had somebody speak to you in darkness? How would you like that? A very unfamiliar voice. Immediately turn on the light. Who's that? But anyway, God's voice is normally very gentle and actually very familiar. When God speaks, we know actually He's the one speaking. So this wasn't scary for Moses. And God tells Moses that He had seen what was happening to His children in Egypt. He has heard their cry. And now He has come down to use Moses to free them. What a message of grace. Moses often probably wondered about the condition of his people. He was out of touch with them. He did not know how their burdened and how their burdens actually worsened. And God informs him, they've been crying, and now I'm going to use you to free them. Moses says, "Here I am, Lord." And God tells me, "You know what? Take your shoes off. The place that you stand is holy." Moses removes his shoes and he doesn't even want to look at God. He doesn't want to look at this flame that was burning, because that was really the appearance of God before him. He felt so unworthy. And Moses is given the task of preparing to meet Pharaoh and to convince the children of Israel that this was time for them to go. This was no doubt a surprise to Moses. He wasn't prepared for that. For 40 years, grazing sheep, he's thinking, "I'm just going to be a shepherd for the rest of my life." And he was content with that. He was happy to be a shepherd. God alters that. You need to pack up and leave and go to a place that you once lived, you once fled from. You are actually on their wanted list for quite a while. I hope they don't remember you, Moses. Or at least he's thinking, I hope these guys don't remember me. The task is going to be completely difficult. Moses is thinking, who am I? I'm just a shepherd. All I know is the best grass for sheep. I know nothing about leadership. But we know that if you can be a shepherd, then you can lead. Because if you really want to be a leader, the whole point is being a shepherd. It is leading people, leading sheep, leading goats, leading cows. And he's going to actually get them through the very place he's raising those goats and cows from. God says, "This is a sign to you, Moses. You're actually going to pass through this mountain and serve me here." They're going to be around that mountain for quite a while. And God is going to give the Israelites the Ten Commandments and so many other laws on that very mountain. So Moses is going to be a leader familiar with the path that the people needed to take. He did not know that God was preparing for that. Probably his very escape route is the very escape route for the Israelites. He didn't know that, but now God unveils his purpose for having him in Midian for all those years. Obviously, this is good news to Moses. He is rejoicing to hear not only the voice of God, but the news that his people are going to be free. We have no record whatsoever of Moses interacting with God for all that 40 years. Sometimes we feel spiritually dry and we're thinking, "God, what happened? You used to speak to me, you used to talk to me. I used to hear from you all the time. What if God particularly said nothing to you for 40 years? Would you still follow him in the 41st year? Would you still stick around and hold on to him? Maybe you're going through a season like Moses. You once were so mixed up with everything you wanted or everything enjoyable. And God cuts all those off and sends you to a place that is quite uncomfortable. And you've been there for quite a while. I'm sure you've not been there for 40 years like Moses, right? Maybe just a few months or years. Extremely uncomfortable. Maybe God is speaking to you that, you know what, that season is ending. I've prepared you enough and I know you're ready for this, so I'm going to give you another task altogether. Maybe some of us are through a transition that God is orchestrating. He's pushing you out one place into another. Maybe you're still in Egypt with all your comfort and God is going to send you to Midian. How do you like that? And you don't know how long you'll spend there. These were his years of preparation. And now he has graduated. So we can as well say congratulations, Moses. You're ready to be used of God as a leader. And for 40 years, God is bit by bit breaking him and shaping him and molding him. And that's the very thing that God does to each one of us. He step by step leads us, chisel by chisel shapes us. Now, we're there in the wilderness raising sheep. You don't know what is really ahead, but God does. Do you think that Moses had a big dream of being a leader? We hear that from so many places. You dream big, right? You think Moses had a big dream for being the leader of the Exodus, the move of God's people back to the land? The Bible describes here flowing with milk and honey, a fruitful land. And we know that for over 400 years being away from their land, they have squatters. Did you see them? The Jebusites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, they are illegally occupying the land that belongs to Israel. They're still doing that to this day, by the way, the Palestinians. And God says, now is the time to go. God calls us when we hardly expect it. You're going around your own business, and God alters that once and for all. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That was a parable about stewardship that Jesus had been teaching. And there was this man who was given some talent, some money, and he had invested it for the Lord. He had faithfully served his master, and the master returns and he presents not only the principal that he received, but the profit as well, the returns. And when the master arrives, this is really the Lord, he says to him, well done, you've done well. You have taken what I gave you, you've invested it, you even have returns. You are even faithful to give it to me. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in little things. Now I'm going to give you greater things to manage. And that's the same thing that God does to Moses. You have been a faithful shepherd. Now I am going to give you the privilege of leading millions of people out of Egypt into their land of promise. Maybe you're out there thinking, I am doing so small. I'm earning so little. This is not my dream job. How many of you are currently in your dream job? How many? This is exactly what you wanted to do. Maybe a few of you. Shepherding wasn't Moses' dream job, was it? And God now tells him, all right, now I have your dream job. You really wanted to be a leader. Remember, that's how you got into murder. You wanted to free your people from slavery. You were really concerned about them. So now you're going to do it. We're going to see Moses say, here I am. Good response. Lord, I am here. Do you hear Moses saying, send me, Lord? He's hesitant and is going to give a couple of excuses that God will have to break down. I am available, but Lord, it's too hard. Obviously, he's humble, he's honest to himself. He's like, I don't deserve that, Lord. But neither is it too easy. And God promises, I am going to be with you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to help you through. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, the Bible talks about how we are called. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the best things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that is, as it's written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Do you think Moses is the best qualified for this job? He doesn't think so of himself. Do you think you're the best to do what God has called you to do now? Whatever you're serving, whatever you're doing, do you think you are the best candidate for that job or for that place? Maybe you think you are, right? Like, yes, my boss really has a good deal. I am the best he can ever have. But the truth is, we are all unworthy and completely, completely not fit for whatever God has called us to do. He alone qualifies us. Amen? He alone qualifies us. I can say that for myself. And all of us should be able to say that for themselves. Wherever God has placed you right now, I can guarantee you, is only by the grace of God. You would not be there. And this call is not just, okay, God has called me to be a pastor or to be a missionary or to be all these things around church. God has called you to be in that place that you serve in, wherever you are right now. God has placed you right there as his child. And he has work for you to do there. And when that work is done, he will move you to the next place. Amen? If you're out there thinking, I'm just raising sheep, I'm just a shepherd, praise the Lord. You raise the sheep for the Lord. Didn't you read about Jethro's girls actually going to water down the well, his flock? How many girls would be shepherds in our age? None of you girls want to really be shepherds, right? God has called us. He has prepared us. He has qualified us. And we are not really the best. We are not really the most wise. We are not the most noble. We are not the most mighty. But God has chosen us, the weak, the unexpecting, the ones that maybe were completely cast away. When I was growing up, I liked playing soccer, but I wasn't very good at it. Neither was I. Masculine enough to play it. If you see my firstborn, that's exactly how I looked like for until I think I was 15. So small. So it'd go in the 80s. We didn't have any cars really. We played soccer on the roads. I grew up in Aguru. There's no cars. They're just like damaged military trucks and everything scattered around. So the road was our soccer pitch. So there were these tall, big guys who would choose people on their team. So I would make one queue and they go like, okay, this one, this mine, this one. And then I would be like the last, like that one. Oh, just sit out there. Help us get the balls, right? And I'm like, yeah, I will do that. So then I went off to play volleyball, which I was very good at. Praise the Lord. But you look at yourself, you're thinking, you know what? I was that guy who nobody wanted to be on their team. But God picked us and is using us for his purposes. And the Bible here says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. That is the best qualification ever. You have the Lord who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. As it's written, he who glories, let him glory only in the Lord. If you're out there boasting about who you are, tell you what, it's only God who did it. And if you have any boasting, please, let it be boastfulness to the glory of God. Saying literally, God has made me the person that I am and God has shaped me to serve him in this place and I'm forever grateful to him. Amen. The second part is when God talks more about the task and who he is. From verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Moses is interesting here. I think he should have said, God, what's your name, right? Should not have beaten around the bush like, okay, God, if I go there and they ask me who you are, what should I say, right? God, who are you? Like, what's your name? He had never had an encounter with God. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appear to me saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by a mighty hand. So I'll stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I'll do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give his people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. Every woman shall ask of a neighbor, namely, of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. God, you have called me, so who are you? I am who I am. How do you like that for a name? Tell them, I am has sent you. Well, you're thinking, I am who? God defines himself, literally meaning, I am above all. I am the one in charge of everything. I have no equal. I am self-sufficient. I am eternal. I am everything. And God, to everyone he appears to, he reveals who he is. And when we start walking with the Lord, we don't know much about him. And progressively, he teaches us who he is. And Moses is going to have this 40-year journey really knowing who God is. The Israelites are going to take this 40-year journey, and the major lesson they are going to learn is who God is. Nothing more than who this I am who I am is. He tells him, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was familiar with his heritage from Abraham. And God says, remember, Abraham, your great-grandfather? Oh, yeah, the God who called him out from the Chaldeans into this land. Yeah, I know him. I am the very same God who is speaking to you now. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 22, but Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Before that, in Genesis 12, God had appeared to Abraham, had made these amazing promises to him. I have called you out of your land, please leave. Blessing, I'll bless you. Whoever blesses you, I'll bless. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. I'll make you a blessing to the entire world. And through your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. In Genesis 14, Abraham is able to say to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand. Literally, I worship the Lord, the God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. From the promises that God made to Abram, he then now knows the God that he honors and serves, the possessor of heaven and earth. In Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Bible says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Who are you? I am the Almighty God, and I'm calling you to walk before me in righteousness. Similar call to Moses. Moses, yes, I am. Brother, yes, here I am. I'm calling you to lead my children out of Israel. Who are you, Lord? I am the greatest. I am who I am. I am above everything and everyone. And if Pharaoh asks who has sent you, tell him the God of the Hebrews. The God that allowed these people to be here for 40 years. The same God he's saying, now it's time to let them go. God obviously warns Moses that it's not going to be an easy task. The Egyptians are not going to release the Israelites because they are benefiting from their slave labor. They're earning a lot. A lot of their labor unpaid for. But I'm going to stretch up my hand and he will have to let them go. In Genesis 21, verse 33, then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. So we all start walking with God and we have a very scanty knowledge of him. Probably no knowledge whatsoever. But through the pages of scriptures, God reveals himself to us. Moses, if you think that everything is done for you, you're going to be a shepherd for the rest of your life, no. The God who created you has just been preparing you for another mission altogether. All you have to do is follow. Abraham, I am the Almighty God. And that time, Abraham was doubting the promises of God. He's thinking, how on earth is this child going to come? I am old. And my wife is old. How on earth can we have a baby? God would ask Abraham and Sarah, is there anything too hard for me? Do you actually know who I am? You know that I have all power and I can do anything that you think is impossible. And Abraham, later on in chapter 21, verse 33, he says, you know what? You are the everlasting God. You can tell his knowledge of God is growing. His experience with God is getting better and better as God unveils himself to him. Later on in Genesis 22, verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Later on when God asks him, now he has had a son, miracle baby, Isaac is born. God tells him, you know what? Give that son back to me. Sacrifice that son to me. And he obeys and walks off a three-day journey. He has the knife. He has the firewood. His son asks, where is the sacrifice? He says, the Lord will provide. He now knows God as a provider. God has given him a son. The one thing he desired most. He wanted somebody to inherit all these promises. And God said, I will give you a son. Abraham tried to do it himself. God said, no, that is not the one. I myself will provide for you the desire of your heart. And God did. And in Genesis 22, he knows that God provides. In John, the Gospel of John, when Jesus is teaching his followers, and there are those who are questioning his authority and his might, he teaches seven things about himself, pretty much similar to what God is teaching Moses about himself. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." He's literally teaching them that if you're hungry and thirsty, I will satisfy you. In John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world." You think this world is really dark and there's no hope? No, I'm bringing light to you. And I'm showing you a way of light into the kingdom of light, out of the kingdom of darkness. In John chapter 10, verse 7, "I am the door of the sheep." Teaches about the good shepherd he is. He lays down his life for the sheep to protect the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." Look around you, you have bad shepherds. You have shepherds who are taking advantage of you. "I am the good shepherd." In John chapter 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection of the life." Lazarus had died. And you know how painful death is. And how it brings so much hopelessness. And Jesus comes and brings back Lazarus to life. And then he says to them, "I am the resurrection and the life." In John chapter 14, verse 6, it teaches that "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John chapter 15, verse 1, "I am the true vine." And as we grow in this call that God has marked for us, the one thing God will faithfully do is teach you who He is. Amen? When you seek, He'll come and comfort you. When you lack, He'll come and provide. When you discourage, He will surely encourage you. When you feel like you're unworthy, just like Moses did, "God, who am I that you can use me?" God will say, "You know what? I know that. You don't have to remind me. I made you, but I've chosen you to fill that seat, to fill that office, to perform that ministry. I have qualified you. I've given you the gifts and the talents and the abilities. If you're hungry, He will satisfy you. He will protect you. The good shepherd obviously does. When you're in fear, He will come and settle those fears. Afraid of life, afraid of death, Jesus says, "You know what? You just have to be in me. I am life. I am the resurrection. You don't have to be afraid of even death. The sting of death was taken away through the cross." If you're here seeking the Lord, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just come to me. I will lead you to heaven. I have prepared a place for you. I am the true vine. I am the one who is going to cause you to be fruitful in every endeavor that I lead you to. I am the one who is going to give you the strength and the skill to bear much fruit." And God is telling Moses, "You don't have to worry about everything. All you have to do is walk with me. I am going to lead you there. Pharaoh obviously is stubborn. I am going to break him down. The children of Israel may not believe you. They'll give you a hard time. We know that." God says, "I am going to handle that." So Christians, when God calls us to anything, wherever God has placed you, obviously it's difficult. Obviously, it may not be comfortable. It may be the very least that you expected. It may be the place that you really hate. You think Moses wants to go back to Egypt? Really? He is in their criminal records. But all you have to do is say, "Here I am, Lord. I'm available, Lord. Please use me." God calls you. God calls me to His service after years of preparation. And you didn't even know that He's preparing you for that call. And then God says, "I am going to teach you who I am through this journey." And I pray that we would be attentive to the lessons that God teaches us. Amen? Especially about Himself. There's a lot of false teachings around there about who God is and about who we are. In fact, in some places, there is more emphasis on who we are than who God is. But the truth is this: everything about who we are depends on who God is. Amen? Everything. We are not here and then everything about God is based on who we are. No. Everything about who we are is based on who God is. He's almighty, so means he's powerful enough to take care of everything down here. He is great to watch over all our concerns. He is a provider to provide all our needs. He's a good shepherd to lead us into those green pastures and still waters. He is a miracle worker, so he will perform any miracle before us. And is going to lead Moses through numerous lessons on who he is. And as Moses walks this journey, we are walking a similar journey. And the one thing we should always pay attention to is who God is. Because when we have the right perspective of God, if we know he's almighty, he's everlasting, he's all-powerful, he's the bread of life and everything, then there's nothing ahead of us that we'll be afraid of. Nothing. If God tells Moses, I am going to be with you, Moses, what then should you be afraid of? If God says to us that I am the resurrection of and the life, he has our life in his hands. He's going to lead us through every season of life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.